Today we look at the Lord choosing the 12 disciples. And let me just say, the Bible states very clearly that God chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Now, we often think when we see somebody that's being used by the Lord, man, that guy's got his act together. Or, man, that girl, that woman really is something. And I'm not saying that that doesn't mean that God's servants aren't organized, that God's servants don't mature, that God's servants, he doesn't raise them to a higher standard and use them for his kingdom. What I'm saying is that God takes us, the foolish things of the world, and uses us for his kingdom if we make ourselves available. We simply offer ourselves in our foolishness, some more foolish than others, and God takes it, God transforms it, and God makes us what he wants us to be. Now, let me say, you may be here this morning and not be a foolish thing of the world. There are some oddities. Maybe you're one of those Christian oddities. But most of us, I mean, look around. No, I'm not. I say that in jest and in fun, but honestly, if we look at our lives, guys, I have to look at my life and be honest and say, God does truly choose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. You know, in 1 Corinthians 1:26 through 29, I want to read you something. Paul says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh." Note that. Not many wise according to the flesh. It doesn't mean dumb. It just means not many in the world's eyes, as the world would hold up. "Not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world," note this, "to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty." Does that ring a bell in your heart? "And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are." Note this, here's why. "That no flesh should glory in his presence." You got that? See, what the Lord is saying is this. If I choose everybody that's famous and great at everything they do, now obviously they are welcome in the kingdom. Obviously the Lord died for them. Obviously the Lord draws them and reaches out to them as well as he does us, because the Bible says that God so loved the world that his only begotten son died. He draws all men to himself. It's not certain people that God draws and certain people he doesn't draw, but God chooses certain people for great works in his kingdom so that they can do a great work, but who gets the glory? You see, the Lord does. God wants us to be able to look at the servant, and when something really neat happens, we go, "That's God. Because I know that guy. Or I know that girl. That's God." You know what I'm saying? And listen, I say the foolish things of the world, I'll bear my heart with you guys. I've shared a couple of these with you, so bear with me if you've heard them. But I truly look at myself as one of the foolish things of the world. And when I think about God choosing me to even be a pastor, not that God's using me for great things, but I'll tell you, it is an honor to be able to stand before you and to share his word. It is a great honor to do that. And I think, God, you know, why did you do that? Well, because God chooses the foolish things of the world. I'll give you just a couple. You know, I'm one of those people that's very literal, and I've shared some of these things with you guys, but I'm going to share some insights about your pastor. Sometimes he's not quite as sharp as you might think. And so maybe you're already onto it, very obviously. But listen, there are things. I remember, I'll just give you a couple of them. I take things very literally that people say to me. One time we went to Israel. I'm going to give you just a couple of them. And I kind of have these in my computer, dumb things I've said. That's under the heading. I've got like a section there, a file holding it. One of them is, we go to Israel one time, and we're there, and we're going to one of these little stands. It's an ice cream stand. And so we're there at the ice cream stand, and we walk up, and we've just gotten to Israel. We're all excited. We walk up and say, "Wow, we're going to get an ice cream. Give me a scoop of that," whatever it is. They get their scoop. I get a scoop. The guy hands it to me and says, "Free." I said, "Free?" He said, "Yeah, free." I said, "You're kidding." He said, "No, free." I went, "Well, thank you. That is free, honey. This is free." He looked at me and said, "Free." You see, in Israel, they can't say THs. So they're THs or FR. So I'm sitting here trying to, almost walked off with this ice cream cone. Probably been chasing me down the street with Uzis or something, you know, the ice cream terrorist. I had another time where somebody came up to me at a party one time and they said, "You know, Mark, I want you to meet our niece Leanne." And I said, "Great, I'd love to." So they brought me over there and they said, "Pastor Mark, this is our niece Leanne." I said, "Well, our niece, what a nice name." I said, "It's good to meet you." And they said, No, our niece. Leanne, I'm sorry, excuse me, Leanne. What makes it worse is somebody came one time that had a relative here, a niece named Leanne, to the church. And I had told this story, and so they came to me and said, "Hey, Mark, I want you to meet our niece Leanne." And she's standing there, and I'm like, yeah, meet your niece Leanne, that's great, guys. And I walked off. They didn't know the story, and her name was Leanne. Now, what kind of impression do you think that made? I thought, man, it's another practical joke these guys are giving me. Oh, listen, it doesn't stop there. I remember one time when I was flying back from a pastor's conference, there was another Calvary pastor on the plane, and we're flying back, and so we're talking back and forth, and he's leaning back behind the chair talking to me. He says, so where are you from? I'm from Knoxville. How about you? I'm from Texas. And we're having this conversation. There's a break in the action, kind of a pause, and finally he says, you know, and we're heading back home. You know, we're heading back. I'm heading back to Knoxville. He's heading back to Texas, and he turns around and goes, so where are you preaching from Sunday? I said, well, Knoxville. He said, no, I mean, what book? What book of the Bible? And I'm thinking, man, this guy's dumb, you know. I just told him I'm from Knoxville, you know. You know? So then we go on vacation. I call up Frank up here in Chattanooga. I'll stop. I've got more, but I'll do another one here. We call up Frank. There's more to come. I'll keep you posted. I go up. I call Frank on the phone. I say, Frank, you know, we're going on vacation, and just one of you cover for me on Sunday. And I'm like, yeah, I'd love to cover for you and all this stuff. We're getting ready to go and do some things. I want to call you before we left the house and all. He said, so where are you going? I said, we'll probably go to the mall or Walmart or something out like that. And he got real quiet. There's always that kind of quiet on the other end, kind of that deer in the headlights kind of. You're not serious. And I was like, I said, yeah. He said, no, I mean, on vacation, where are you going? And anyway, why do I tell you all this? Why do I expose my lack of brain power at times? Because guys, listen, I get to stand up here and share God's word with you, and I am a foolish thing of the world. And so what God tells us, and really what we're going to see today is that when I think sometimes we look at the disciples and we think, you know what? These guys, they had it together. I mean, they were sharp. This was the cream of the crop. They may have been fishermen. But you know what? He saw who they really were. And so he saw who they really were and still chose them. And God sees who we really are and still chooses us. Here's the good news. He changes us. We may still have certain traits that we keep, but God gives us power. God uses us for his kingdom. And again, who gets the glory? Now, when you know that things and you see God doing things, anything at Calvary Chapel, what are you going to say? It's God. So you're going to know. And that's what God wants when you get used. When God comes upon you with his power and you get used for his glory, you know what he wants people to say? That was God. It's interesting, even Jesus, and I think of how together Jesus was. When Jesus ministered and Jesus taught, it says that whenever he was done, he walked away and people glorified what? They glorified God for the things they had seen and heard. It didn't even say they glorified Jesus. Now, certainly they could have. But he was able to give God the glory in such a way to realize that this is the power of God working through me. And that's where we need to be, to realize that it's the power of God working through us. It's not our power, it's God's power. And again, the exciting thing is that God can use us. He used them, he can use us. Now, notice here as it begins, again, in verse 12, and we're going to get into the men that he chose. We're going to look at their different characteristics and traits and even the meanings of their names, just to get some insight. Notice this, it says, now it came to pass in those days that he went out to a mountain to pray. Again, this is Jesus. And he continued all night in prayer to God. Now, a couple things I want to say about this before we get to the apostles and the choosing. Notice this, he went out to pray and prayed all night. Guys, you've probably heard this throughout your lives, but I don't think until it really sinks in our heart that we really grasp it and we can really be used in great ways by the Lord. And that is this, prayer is the powerhouse of being used by the Lord. There's no other avenue. If you are not a person of prayer, you will never be used in any great magnitude. That's just what the Bible teaches. Now, we're not talking about works and pride and working up the ladder and I pray more than you. That's not the point. When I see a person of prayer, I mean a person who on a regular basis seeks the Lord and seeks his face about their life, about everything. Everything runs through the filter of God. God uses people that pray. And listen, even Jesus knew that. Jesus, the Son of God, coming down to the earth, he knew that he needed to go to the Father, and without prayer, there wouldn't be any power. See, prayer cannot be, in a successful Christian life, prayer cannot be a supplement. Prayer must be our foundational mainstay. It must be the thing that is there on a regular basis all the time, or else we're not going to be there on a regular basis all the time. How many of you have missed a prayer time? You've not been with the Lord, and all of a sudden you find yourself in a situation where you need to minister, and the power is not there. I have. Because I know that the power is not of me and the power is not of you. What did Jesus say? You can do how much apart from me? Nothing. Isn't that an interesting word? I should think, well, Lord, I can do something apart from you. I mean, I can at least say something. Yes, here's what he means. He doesn't mean you can't say Jesus is Lord. It doesn't even mean you can't share. What it means is this. There's not going to be power behind it. Anybody can say Jesus, but the power comes when the power maker has filled you with his power. And so Jesus realized that. He realized, I've got to have power. I've got this ministry coming ahead of me. And if I'm not spending time in prayer, there's not going to be any power that's there. And all through the Gospels, we see Jesus praying. Why? Because he realized that without prayer, there wasn't going to be that power. Now, this is interesting. You might say, but wait a minute. Jesus was God. Give me a break. Why did he need to pray? Listen, the Bible says that he emptied himself of his divine power. When he came to the earth, yes, he was fully God, the Bible says, but he was also fully man. And the Bible says he emptied himself of any divine prerogative so that the power that was available to him was no more than the power that's available to us. Grab that. What that means is the power Jesus Christ walked in, we have available to us. Isn't that something? Jesus just sought the Lord and got that power. Now, again, here's the danger. If you're one of those works mindset people, if you're one of those I'm going to do it people, then you're going to set your clock and you're going to pray this many hours and you're going to do that. And now you're going to walk in power. Probably not. You'll probably just be sleepy. Certainly the prayer is good. My point is, it's not something we do to try to go and pay our dues and now we've got power. It is a relationship that is built and developed as we spend time with our Father and as he begins to entrust us with more and more so that he can use us in greater and greater ways. You know, we were talking just this week. I think that sometimes the reason God doesn't give us any more power than he does is that many of us couldn't handle it. I think that if God was to give me the power that Jesus Christ walked in, I probably would become so big in the head, I'd be useless. So God says, all right, Mark can't handle very much. And stay humble. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give him this amount. That's how much he can handle and stay humble. That's what I'm going to give him. When he matures more, I'll give him more. But how does he mature? Through the word and through prayer. And so you see, the way that we walk in God's power in greater levels is we mature. We are faithful in the word. We are faithful in prayer. We grow in grace. We grow in the Lord. And God says, now I can entrust you with more. Think about your own kids. What do you do with them? You don't entrust them with more until they're ready, do you? The Father's the same way. I mean, what if he gave some of us the power to do certain things? I mean, it'd be awful. Can you imagine? I mean, certain things, it can be used. Well, anyway, the point is God gives us what we need, when we need it, and how we need it, but it comes through prayer. We can never underestimate the power of prayer in our lives. It is so important. And I want to say this. I believe that prayer is the powerhouse behind anything God's doing here at Calvary Chapel. I know you're praying. Some of you are just, you just pray. You're just people that pray. All of you pray probably from time to time. Some of you pray different ways. Some of you pray more than others. That's not the point. But I know that the reason there's any blessing in this ministry at all is because people are praying. And I'll tell you this, whenever people stop praying, that's when a ministry slowly dies. It will slowly fade away because the powerhouse is prayer and the Lord knew that. Now, I want to point out some basic principles on prayer. I can't pass this up without doing that here. Notice these basic principles. First of all, we said that Jesus prayed here all night long, but we see in the Gospels that Jesus was always getting away to pray. Always getting away to pray. What's the first principle? If you're a note taker, here's number one. That is, it has to be regular. I think sometimes we pray and we pray for a short amount of time and then we take for, you know, a week off, then we pray and take 2 weeks off and then we pray. No, it's got to be regular. Jesus knew that he needed God's power every day. And so because he needed God's power every day, he prayed every day. He sought the Lord. He sought the Father. Now, again, when I say prayer, I know, again, some of your mindset. Some of you are going to beat yourselves up and say, you're right, I don't pray enough. None of us pray enough. That's not the point. It's not to beat you up and say you need to be praying more. I'm saying we need to ask God to help us to be regular at praying, whether it's 5 minutes, whether it's 10, whether it's 30, whether it's whatever it is. Be faithful at whatever you have. Use that, and God will increase it by his grace. Just be faithful. If it's 5 minutes a day, don't miss that 5 minutes. Close yourself in your room, lock the door where the kids can't get in and say, mommy, 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 and stand there and just say, God, you know, help me, you know, whatever it might be. Because you need that time. You need that time with the Lord. It's the consistency. It's the regular prayer. God is the one who will develop the length. Secondly, it's got to be a time that's alone. I think it's good to pray in the car with you got all the kids. And I think it's good to say prayers as you're walking and prayers to pray without ceasing. That's good. But notice the principle Jesus did. When Jesus got away to pray, he did pray in crowds, yes. But he also made sure there was times he got away. Why? Because the only way you can really have a clear mind to speak to the Lord and to hear what the Lord is saying, you need to get alone and get quiet with him. You know, it's interesting. When Samuel got called, he said, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. I think sometimes we say, listen, Lord, for your servant speaks. And we never give a chance for him to speak to us. We don't get quiet. We don't get away where, you know what? We say, Lord, what about this? Well, sometimes we just need to kind of just be quiet and meditate. I've heard it said God gave us one mouth and two ears for a reason. I'm a little off balance there, I admit. But again, when it comes to our prayer life, how important to have that time set aside. Now, thirdly, again, it takes time to pray. It takes time. It may only be 5 minutes, but you're going to have to set aside those 5 minutes. I've heard people say, well, yes, I pray, but I pray as I'm on my way to the car, and I pray as I do this, and I pray. That's wonderful. Keep that up. But that's not what gave Jesus the power that he had to do ministry. That kept his normal relationship going. The power that came from ministry is when Jesus got away and set aside some time and said, I'm going to spend time with my Father because I need to be filled up. I need his power and I need to walk with him. And so time, Jesus got away. It's not just a lunch and dinner thing. The prayer before lunch, the prayer before dinner. I prayed today. Well, yes, you did. But you're not going to have power in your life with that kind of prayer. Fourthly, it's got to be a priority when big decisions are in the equation. See, Jesus knew that the next day he was going to be choosing the 12 that were going to be basically the foundational fathers of the church, that he was going to use to spearhead his movement across the world. And so what did he do? He spent all night in prayer. He said, I've got a big decision coming up. I need to pray about this big decision. I said, don't ever make a big decision without going to the Lord. Make sure that when you've got decisions that need to be made, that you run them by the Lord. I think of Joshua. Remember, God said, I'm going to send you into the land. You're going to conquer the Israelites, or rather the Canaanites, and I'm going to give you the land of Israel, the Canaanite land. He said, go in there. They go in there. They have a great victory at Jericho. And the victory is so great, and everything's going wonderful. The guys come up and say, look, we're going to go up here and attack this little town called Ai. And you know what? We went up there, and it was like just a, there's hardly, it's, this will be nothing, man. Just take a few thousand with us. We'll go up and wipe these guys out. And Joshua said, all right, go take care of it. But Joshua forgot one main thing. He didn't pray. And they, you know the story. They went to Ai. What happened? They got defeated and driven back. And they said, now what's happened? Now the people of the land are not going to be afraid of us because we didn't. Oh, God, why'd you do this? And Joshua falls down and says, God, how'd you let this happen? Wait, he says, Joshua, get up. You should have done this before you went to Ai, not now. The problem is you didn't seek me. You just went and did it. I'll tell you when to do it. I'll tell you how to do it. Here's the key. Here's the key principle on this. Never forget to pray for the obvious. Never forget to pray for the obvious. I've made some of my biggest mistakes by thinking, oh, that's obvious. That's a gimme. That's easy. We don't need to pray. Sure. And then boom. See, Joshua didn't pray for the obvious, and Joshua was defeated. Guys, we've got to always remember sometimes what's obvious to us isn't. I think of King David. He was going to go up and attack the enemy. He says, Lord, should I go up and attack? And the Lord said, no. I want you to go around back behind them, next to the mulberry trees. And then when you hear the marching in the top of the trees, then go in. In other words, I want you to do it, but I want you to do it my way, not the way that you think. I may have a different plan than you have in mind. Your plan won't work because I see all things. My plan will work. And so again, don't miss the obvious. What is the fifth thing? Again, we've really already said it, and that is to make time. To make time. We've got to be diligent to set that time aside, whenever it might be. And again, may take creativity. Depending on your lifestyle, it may take creativity, but make time to be alone with the Lord. Jesus did that. He gets away and notice he was all night in prayer. And it says, and when it was day, verse 13, he called his disciples to him, and from them he chose 12 whom he had also named apostles. Now notice he called his disciples. These were all the believers. But now he called 12 to him that he knew could be used in a special way. Why? Well, I think probably because Jesus saw not where they were, but where they were going to be, their potential and their commitment. See, Jesus doesn't necessarily look at us and go, wow, look where you are now. He goes, where are you going to be? And I can use you because you're fully committed and you're devoted. See, that's the difference in somebody that gets used in a greater way. Full commitment, full devotion, and faithfulness. All of us, when we come to Christ, are saved. But God gives an option. He says, you want to be used in a greater way? Commit yourself wholly to me. Not wholly as H-O-L-Y, but W-H-O-L-L-Y. Commit yourself completely to me and be faithful. And if you will commit yourself completely to me and be faithful, I will use you in greater ways. He knew that these guys would do that. He knew from spending a night in prayer that these are the ones that he, you know, would be able to use. Now, I would think when I read verse 13, he was up all night in prayer and then suddenly he went to bed. But notice he was up all night in prayer and then he went and took care of business. And I want to say this, there may be sometimes when God calls us to lose a little bit of sleep in order to seek his face. And yet there is a strange power that comes with seeking the face of the Lord that is a spiritual power that overrides the fleshly weakness. And Jesus had tapped into that power. Jesus knew that. Runners, when they run, they say that there's a second wind, these marathon guys. They get farther down the road and there's this second wind that kicks in that gives them this energy and this strength that you wouldn't expect to be there. You would think after that many miles, they would collapse. No, now they have this new, fresh vigor. That's what happens in prayer. You may think, man, I'm tired. This is so hard and whatever. But as you maintain, there's a new vigor and there's a new strength that comes from the Lord in seeking. The Lord found that. And now even though he was up all night, he was able now to minister in prayer and to call these men out to himself. And again, as we said, it wasn't favoritism. It wasn't because they were more special. I believe it's because the Lord saw their heart and said, these guys are fully committed. These guys are fully devoted. And you know what? They may be the foolish things of the world, but I can work with them. Guys, do we want to be that person? I'm not talking about trying to work our way up the ladder echelon to be the better Christian than somebody else. I'm just saying, you know what? Okay, we're saved. We're in the kingdom. That's awesome. And yes, that would be enough. But is there not a greater, let me just say this. There is not a greater cause than the cause we have been given. Is there? A lost and dying world, and the Lord says, I've given you the answers, I've given you the truth, and I'm going to send you among them to do it. I don't know about you, but that's like, wow. You ever wanted a purpose to live? You ever wanted a reason to really just go for it? There is no greater purpose. There is no greater cause than the cause of Jesus Christ and sharing his word and being used for him in a position to share his word. There's nothing greater. Exciting here. I know they were probably excited, and I don't even know if they knew what was going on for sure. But I just want to say this, you know, that we could take encouragement. As we look at these 12, and we're going to look at each one of them just a little bit here briefly as we go through this. As we look at each one of them, you're going to realize these guys, again, were not superstars. They were very ordinary guys who were fully committed, fully devoted, and faithful. And being ordinary guys, fully committed. I'm probably fully demented. Me, that's me. Fully committed, fully devoted. God was able to use them in a great way. And here's my point on this, guys. Listen, God will use you in a great way like that. And I also want to say this, you might be saying, yes, but you don't understand, I'm not mature enough. I do believe there is a maturing process. I do believe there is a spiritual boot camp we need to go through before we're ready for battle. But guys, I think a lot of times we're ready to be used a lot sooner than we think we are. We're waiting on ourselves to become fully ripe, so to speak, and the Lord picks us even before we think we're ripe. And some of you this morning, God may be picking on your heart right now saying, I'm calling you to something. You think you're not mature enough. You think you're not fully ripe. Look at these disciples. Hey, I think of kids in driving. Think about our teens. They reach 16 years old, and that's kind of scary when you realize a 16-year-old and you hand them the car keys. I'm going to hand you the keys to a 2,000-pound piece of metal. You're going to go fill it up with a flammable material and drive around town without anybody watching you. That's scary. And yet, what do we do as parents? We realize, you know what? You're not fully mature. You're not fully ripe. But I'm going to hand you these keys because it's the only way you're going to learn how to drive. And as we give them the keys, they learn how. We bite our nails and go, Lord, have mercy. What do you think God does in the kingdom? I think about us. I mean, look at us. Guys, there's a work to be done down here. There's a world to be reached for Jesus Christ. He could just send the angels. He could just say, guys, go down there and just do it. But he picks us and we go, you're kidding. No, I've given you the keys, Peter, to the kingdom. Start it up. Drive out into the world. And begin to share the gospel with those around you. But Lord, I'm not ready. Lord, I'm not fully mature. He says, you know what? You don't have to be ready and fully mature. I'll use you in the way I'm going to use you for wherever you are. So again, it doesn't matter where you are in the process. God wants to use you. And he's entrusted you with the keys of the kingdom. So that you can go out and be his witness and be his testimony. Now, it's exciting. As he picks the 12 here and as he lays them out. Because as we see these guys, we realize that, you know what? The Lord can also use us. Notice what it says here. He says, from them he chose 12 and named them apostles. Look at verse 14. Simon, whom he also named Peter, Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called the Zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Now guys, note this. Let's look close at these guys. Let's kind of break this down. As we said, there's all types and all kinds that God chooses. As one of Adiah's classmates said in class the other day, they were talking about animals and what types of animals. And one of the little kids said, yeah, that's right, there's mammals and there's femammals. So there's different kinds. Even as there are mammals and femammals, guys, there are different kinds of believers in this room today, different kinds of Christians in this room. And what we need to grasp as we go down this list is God does not have us in a cookie cutter. God calls us just how we are, all personalities, all types, uses us the way we are, and makes us fit for his kingdom. Notice, first of all, Simon Peter. Now, you know the name. It means rock. Peter does. But I want to note this about Peter. He was an impulsive fisherman. Remember Peter? He was always the one just kind of, he was always just saying things before he thought. You know, Peter was backwards. You know, it wasn't ready, aim, fire. It was ready, fire, aim. That was Peter's modus operandi. He was emotionally led, driven by his emotions and his feelings. And as Peter being led by his emotions and feelings, the Lord said, that's all right. I can use a person like that. Listen, are you that type of person? Do you find yourself making mistakes and putting your foot in your mouth because you're led by your emotions and your feelings? Well, you're in good company. That's exactly where Peter was. The Lord chose him to be one of his 12. Andrew, the name means manly. I would say kind of a tough guy or manly type. Now, again, it doesn't mean that's exactly what these guys were like. These are the meanings of their names. Oftentimes the Holy Spirit gives us insight there, but I think what the Holy Spirit would give us more than anything, rather than saying that's exactly what they were like, is this. Listen, even their names represent all the different types of people I will call. Man, I've seen people that come out of some rough backgrounds, some tough guys. I mean, they've got, you know, the tattoos everywhere, you know, they're just rough looking guys, but man, they love Jesus. You know, and they may pull up on a Harley, but they're going to tell you that there's one way to the Father, and it's by the Son. And so God uses that kind of person as well. You know, do you feel like you've come from a tough background? God can never use you because you used to beat people up. You know, now you're going to punch them in the name of the Lord or something, you know? No, but God will use you. Because God takes tough guys and he makes them cupcakes. They're still tough. They're still tough for the Lord now, though. And instead of punching people, they're sharing the word. What's the next one? James. Interesting, the name James means supplanter, or we would say today, modern day deceiver. Have you come from a background of deceit? Maybe you were just a deceiver. Whatever the case might be, you know what? The Lord can use you. If you're fully committed and you're fully faithful, it doesn't matter. Maybe you're a deceiver today. So you know what? I'm a deceiver right now. I've been lying to people. I'm not being honest. I'm not straightforward. The Lord says, you know what? I know it. They don't know it. You've tricked them, but I know. But I will change you. And I will use you if you do this, if you'll fully commit, fully devote, and be faithful. I'll do a work, and I'll make you one of those that I place honor on. So take heart. John, what does that mean? Jehovah is a gracious giver. Are you the gifted type? Jehovah is a gracious giver. God gives the gifts. Maybe you've got all kinds of gifts, but you've never really been used in any great way for the Lord or used in any way at all. You know what? You've got lots of gifts. God will use you. But you've got to give your gifts to the Lord. I think about people that have these tremendous gifts that they use for themselves and the world. And I think, who gave them that gift? The Lord did. And one day they're going to be accountable before the Lord for that gift and how they used it. Notice this next one, Philip. This is interesting. It means lover of horses. Are you an animal lover? Maybe you're an animal lover. Maybe you're an animal lover even to the extreme. I don't know. But the bottom line is, again, a different type of personality. God says, I'll use you. Bartholomew, which is also Nathaniel. Again, they had dual names. Bartholomew, his other name was Nathaniel. It means God has given. Now, this is interesting. Maybe God has given you a lot. Maybe you're the Bartholomew. Maybe you're the Nathaniel. Maybe God has given you a lot. Things you never dreamed. Maybe financially. Maybe in other areas. I don't know. God has just given you a lot. Can God use you? Yes, he can. You know, it's interesting. The Bible says that there's not many rich that enter the kingdom. And that is because there are many rich that get their eyes on what? Their riches. It's not riches that are wrong. It's getting their heart on riches and seeking after them. Hey, maybe God has given you a lot. Maybe you have a lot of earthly riches, but God has touched your heart and God is saying in your heart, I'll use you in a special way. But you're going to have to fully commit, fully devote, and be faithful, even as these others had to do so. What's the next one? Notice Matthew means gift of Jehovah. Also, he was a tax collector. We'd say an IRS agent. He worked for the government. If you work for the government, God can use even you. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Government is an honorable place to work. Just people pick on it for some reason, so I'm having fun with it. But the point is, notice this, working among the government. Again, it doesn't matter the position, it matters the commitment. Notice next, Thomas. It means a twin. Now, interesting, yes, he could have been literally a twin, or it could just be that, you know, I think in this example, possibly be a twin in the sense of being a twin like the world, following the world's ways. And, you know, Thomas was also, as we know, a doubter. You know, Thomas has the great reputation of being the doubter because of his episode with Jesus there in the upper room. He doubted. So Thomas the doubter, you know what? Maybe you're following everyone around in the world doing everything they're doing, and you doubt things spiritually. And that's you today. You said, yeah, that's me. I'm just living in the world. I'm not living apart from the Lord. I'm just living right in the midst of it, and I really doubt the spiritual things. I don't want to, but that's me. Listen, if you're like Thomas, God can use you. But again, you're going to have to fully commit. These are the ones that he called. These are the type of guys that he reached out to. Now, notice this. Next, James, son of Alphaeus. Alphaeus means a leader of 1,000. Are you a leader? See, some of you in this room are natural leaders. And you know, I worked with kids for years, and I saw leaders, and I saw kids that were leaders for good and kids that were leaders for bad. And if you are a natural leader, you're one of the two. You're either leading people toward the Lord and good things, or you're leading people away. And God is saying, you know what? You commit yourself to me, I'll change you. You'll still be a leader, but instead of leading people away, you're going to lead people to me. Exciting gift to have if it's used the right way. Notice this, Simon the Zealot. Interesting, zealots, a little bit about zealots. They were political activists, radical political activists. As a matter of fact, they were so politically radical that they carried these knives they called the sicarii under their jackets, under their robes. And if you were in league with Rome, which they hated, and they found you in a crowd where they didn't think they would get caught, they would kill you right there. They'd take out their knife, they'd kill anybody that loved Rome, was with Rome, put their knife back in there and just walk off in the crowd and get lost. It was a regular problem in that day. Notice who Jesus called, Simon the Zealot. You wouldn't think this would be the kind of guy the Lord would call. Listen, this is the kind of guy that the Lord calls. But again, why? Because he was willing to commit to the Lord and let the Lord change him. Notice next, Judas, the son of James. He also is Thaddeus, has the other name Thaddeus. It means he shall be praised and son of a deceiver. Maybe your parents were deceivers. Maybe your parents never followed the Lord. Maybe you look at your parents as those who are completely rejecting the Lord. Does that mean now that you can't be used because your parents? See, there's a false teaching today that says if your parents were in sin, that passes down to you. Let me say, if you're an unbeliever, out of Deuteronomy, that's true to the third or fourth generation. But Jesus said this, when you give your life to the Lord, if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. There is no such thing as a generational curse for the Christian. It does not exist. And there's a false teaching out there that says it does. Jesus said, no, you come to me, I'll take you. If the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. That is only for the unbelievers. It's interesting there in Deuteronomy, it says that God does carry those curses down to the thousands of those who hate him, but he gives his mercy and love and grace to the thousands of those who love him. So maybe you feel like, you know what, my parents were such a mess, it's passed down to me and I can't be used. Wrong. That's exactly the kind of guy that the Lord used here. Interesting, James and John. Quick side note before we hit Judas Iscariot. James and John, sons of thunder, the Lord named them. Why? Man, these guys were the kind that, you know what, Lord, let's just kill them. They won't follow us, let's punch them. You don't want to give your life to the Lord? No. Oh, okay, that does it. You know? Remember they go to that town of Samaria? What happens? They go to that town of Samaria and they show up and they say, you know what, we don't want the Lord here. And they go back to the Lord and say, you want us to call down fire on these guys? Why don't we just burn them? Guys, maybe you're the type that's like that. You're like, Lord, just burn them. And God says, no, he told them, you don't know what spirit you're about. But again, you follow me and I will give you the right spirit. I will make you who you need to be. And then lastly, notice this, and this is the only one that he chose that really was on the outs. That is Judas Iscariot. It means he shall be praised falsely. Isn't that interesting? Iscariot in the Aramaic means falsely or one of falseness. And his name means he shall be praised falsely. How appropriate. Oh, he acted like he was praising the Lord. He even ran up the night he betrayed him and what? Kissed him and said, oh, all this, you know. No, it was false. And guys, that's the one where is the scariest. Because I'm not so sure as you read the rest of this that he started out that way. Notice what it says in 16, Judas, the son of James, Judas Iscariot, who also, note this, became a traitor. I've seen men that I believe with all my heart started out in love with the Lord. I believe they had a good heart. I believe they had a real heart. I believe they were the real McCoy. Nothing fake. These guys were the real deal. God was using them in great ways, and they became a betrayer. Why did they become a betrayer? Because they fell away from the one who would keep them. And this is where, again, it's very sobering to me, and that is, listen, those who stay close to the shepherd are going to be those that never fall off the cliff. Don't you see some sheep that kind of hang around the cliff? Maybe you're that kind. You know, you kind of just go to the edge. You're not going to really jump down there. I mean, I know that's wrong, and there's a lot of stuff going on you shouldn't be involved in, but I'm just kind of looking at it. I'm checking it out so I'll be more equipped to reach them. If I know about it, I can reach them better, right? You know what? I'd just soon not know about it and stay close to the shepherd, because when a strong breeze comes along, and the breezes will come in all of our lives, it depends on how close you are to the edge, whether you get blown off or whether you just stumble and grab back to the shepherd. And we need to be close to our shepherd. I think that Judas got his eyes on other things, the money bag, etc. And the next thing we know, Judas, one of the chosen 12, was a traitor. And let me just say this before I go on. I want you to get a picture of these guys. Let's wrap this up. You got all these guys now, right? Listen to the team we have together. This is Jesus' team to reach the world. You ready? You've got one who is impulsive and led by his emotions, a tough guy, a quick-tempered deceiver, one with many gifts, an animal lover, one financially blessed who works for the government, a spiritual doubter, a natural leader, a political activist, and one with wicked parents and a betrayer. That's his group. Let me ask you this. Do you think you can be used by the Lord? Guys, these are the 12 apostles. If God can use them, God can use you. That's encouraging to me. God can use us. We need to take heart in this. We need to realize that. And note it says here, it goes on, it says, and he came down with them and stood on a level place with the crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Note the next thing. After he called them, he was with them. Guys, when the Lord calls you, he's going to be with you and he'll bring you down to a level place where you can minister. I think that some of us, you know, and I'm not getting into what I believe or don't believe, but I think a lot of us, you know, if we want to use modern day terminology, are spiritually bipolar. 1 minute we're on the roof with the world, the next minute we're down in the gutter. If we stay with the Lord and we follow him, he will bring us to a level place where we can be used to minister to the people. Because somebody that's always up here and always down here is never going to be, it's like a roller coaster. You know the type. 1 week they're doing great. Oh, I'm with the Lord. God's great. God's off. And the next week they're in the gutter going, I can't believe it. How do I get back? God wants to get us to a level place. And again, why did they stay at a level place? Because they followed him. They stayed with the Lord. So he comes back down. He's with them in their ministry. They begin to minister to these people. Notice what happens. He healed them of their diseases, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the entire multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him, and he healed them all. A couple of last points to make. Notice the power went out from him. Remember it said earlier that Jesus prayed all night. How did he get the power in him? By spending time with the Father. But I noticed this principle in Scripture, and we need to note this because some of you have said, you know what? I've prayed. I've asked the Lord to fill me with His Spirit. For a while I walked in power, and now it seems that the power's not there anymore. Note this principle. Right here it says that power went out from the Lord. When Jesus was walking, the woman came up behind him and grabbed his garment. He said, I felt power go out of me. Didn't even see you touched him, but he felt the power go out. What's my point? Listen, guys, in the Christian walk, it's like a spiritual filling station. We have to go to the Lord to fill up our tank, but as we drive around town in the name of Jesus, we use up our gas. And if we are not going back to the Lord on a regular basis, a regular basis, a regular basis, and refilling our spiritual tank, which is what Jesus did when he got away, we're going to find out that we can minister for a while, but there's going to come a time it runs out. It's like the balloon you blow up and let go. It goes good for a while, you know. Then you got to pick it up and go, Lord, I've got another day ahead of me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. You know, it's not a one-time event where you're filled with God's Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, be continually filled on a regular basis. Now, again, you may read that in the English and not glean that as you look it up, but that's what it says in the Greek language. It says, be filled on a continual basis, which tells me that we need to be what? Filled on a continual basis. The Lord was ministering. Power was going out from him. He wasn't. Listen, yesterday's manna will not be enough strength for today's work. Yesterday's breath is not going to be enough to get you through with the next day's need of oxygen. What's my point? The point is, guys, we need to be regular in prayer. We need to be regular. We need to have that power. And when the Lord had that power, we see that he moved in power and he healed them. So where does that leave us? Where does that drop us off today? Let me just say this. First of all, if you will make yourself available to the Lord, no matter what type you are, whether you're a mammal or a female, no matter what type you are, no matter what your bent is, no matter whether you're a tough guy, no matter whether you used to beat people up, no matter whether you used to want to call down fire from heaven, no matter what your thing is, whether you've been a deceiver, whether you've been whatever, here's the deal. You can give your life to Jesus Christ and not only become a disciple, he will choose you to be used in ways of honor and in greater ways if you will do as they did. And that is simply say, here I am, a foolish thing of the world. I realize it, you realize it, but I give myself completely to you. Let's watch what you do and let's have fun, Lord. I'm with you. Isn't it great? I find that exciting. That means that any one of us in this room can be used in greater ways than we ever dreamed or imagined if we will just let the Lord do it and let the Lord commit. But I want to finish this with this, and that is this. As Jesus got away all night to pray, and as we saw the power come out of Jesus, as we go on, we're going to see that he also went back to pray more. Yes, you give yourself completely to the Lord, but if you want to walk in power and really be available for the Lord, you're going to have to go to the spiritual gas station on a regular basis and each day be filled up to the brim so that you might be able to be poured out for him. Let's pray. Father, Lord, that's our desire this morning. Lord, I know that right now there are some hearts burning in this room. And they are saying, I want to be used in a special way, Lord. I want to be used by you, not just saved. Thank you that I'm saved. I praise you that I'm saved. But Lord, would you choose me to be used in a greater way? And the Lord is saying this morning to you, yes, but you need to fully commit, fully devote, and be faithful. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would give each one of us to do that, to say right now, Lord, we hold nothing back. We give all of us to you. We lay everything down. Everything is yours. And we give it all and completely to you. Lord, use us for your kingdom in whatever way you see fit in this grand and noble call, in this grand and noble cause. But Lord, let us realize that if we are going to be able to do it and we're going to be able to maintain, then we're going to have to be filled, Lord, by your power on a regular basis. And Lord, that's only going to come through regular prayer with you. Lord, I ask even now that you would fill us fresh with your Spirit, God, and let us leave here filled with our God, rejoicing in you, and Lord, now being more equipped to be used even in greater ways for your kingdom. Lord, we thank you, we love you, we bless you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.